Hello and welcome to QVD Book Club, the podcast. Today, I've got a story for you that definitely has all of the elements we love in a psychological page turner. There's secrets, there's lies, there's a horror crime, and I'd have to say some characters that we want to trust, but we're not sure that we can. Vicky Wakefield has taken us to the river and she joins me now. Vicky, g'day.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. What a read. It is quite the roller coaster. Was it like that to write for you as well?
Yeah, it always is. I absolutely obsessed when I'm writing, and I go through quite a kaleidoscope of emotions when I'm writing too. So, and this one was particularly fierce on the psyche, I think.
Yeah, I can understand how that would be. For those that haven't met you before, you've had an incredibly successful career with writing for younger readers, but then you stepped into grown-up land with After You Were Gone, and from there was really no turning back. You've taken us to the river. Are these types of books, in terms of the process and the style and how you go about it, very different to what you'd written before?
I would say that my process is still quite similar. Like I haven't knowingly changed anything in the way that I write and the way that I'm responding to the story that's in my head. It's just, I mean, Sabine starts out in this book as a teenager, so I was already in that headspace, but I've just taken her through to adulthood. It was as simple as that, really. And obviously there are nods to the conventions of crime as well, because I love reading crime novels, so I'm aware of what I want in a book, and I just try to give that in the story too.
Is that thing that's always kind of sitting back in your mind, that love of crime and crime novels, so that one day this was always going to be where you headed?
I've always been writing other things besides young adult. I've just been publishing young adults. So it was pretty simple to just pick up a story and go, oh, I feel like working on this today. And then it just moved from me working on it to saying, hey, to my editor, Penny, I've written this. Do you want to have a look? And it just went from there. She said, this is amazing. Let's do this, write this book. And that was with After You Were Gone. And this is my second adult crime. And it's just, yeah, I'm always writing different things. It just depends on what I'm publishing at the time.
So you do really feel at home in terms of this story and taking us to the river. Where did the story come from for you?
Oh, gosh. I think I always start with one scene. It's just one particular scene. And the story tends to spin off from there, and it's happened with all of my books. There's one scene. It's not usually in some kind of chronological order. It's just a very colourful, vivid, affecting thing that I have in my head, and I write that down, and something comes from it. If an entire book comes from it, then, yeah, I'm happy with that. So, but this one did kind of start in the beginning. I saw the fire in the caravan park, and I saw a bunch of other stuff I can't mention because that would be spoilery. Yes. And yeah, and then from there the story just spun out like a big web.
I love that. I love that indeed. I think it would be really easy often when you with a book like this with To the River in the title, you think, oh, it's easy to kind of say, oh, the river was like a character and it was so descriptive. But I didn't feel like that at all. The river is absolutely central to it all, but it's because of two women's relationships and very different relationships to the river. That's what makes this important.
Absolutely. We have two characters, Rachel and Sabine, who couldn't be more different. And they also have Sabine is a fugitive hiding on the river. Rachel is a very well-to-do, respected journalist who's reached redundancy, and she lives on the river, but she's terrified of it. So there's this push-pull between two women throughout this whole story who are completely different, who don't trust each other at all, and yet they've got to work together, otherwise they won't get to the end of the story alive.
And which one are you in terms of the river? Are you the one that could not dip your toe in, or are you riding boots and all in for a swim?
A little bit of both, I think. I find the river incredibly beautiful. This story is set in a vague area in South Australia around Neil Doty, Swan Reach, that kind of area. I'm fascinated by the river and I love it, but I'm also terrified of it too. I've known too many people who have perhaps had accidents or even died on the river. Like, it's a dangerous place. I feel like it's almost Mother Earth fighting back when something like that happens.
Yeah.
It's just a reminder that we take this thing and we use it and we destroy it, and then sometimes it takes back.
Is it, and you mentioned that area and that region where it is that really known to you? Is that a place you have spent a lot of time?
I have, as I've grown up, and I did had a I've had an amazing research trip planned on a houseboat, which is where Sabine is hiding on a houseboat on the river, and to reinforce how surprisingly easy it is to hide on such a vast landscape. And yeah, I went booked it, and of course COVID happened and that was cancelled, and then we had floods come through in 2022, and it just changed everything. There was just one minute it was this arid landscape, you know, where the water levels were quite low and fish were dying, and then the floods and completely changed landscape. So it was almost like someone coming in and bulldozing my set. And then I had to go back and figure out how I'm going to rebuild this thing around the story. So yeah, it was fascinating. So I never did get to have my houseboat trip, but I have so many memories and lots of research. And, you know, we drive up there all the time, but to actually get on the river was quite difficult around that time with the floods.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think about and as you say, how much it changed. And it occurred to me, and I'm really glad you referenced that about how easy it was to hide. I think back to a book from a few years ago with a Crawdad Sing, and that book, she, you know, the river was her kind of salvation, all the waterways, and she was able to hide in so many places. And that's what really surprised me about this with Sabine, because she's on a pretty big boat, yet she knew it so the river so well, and she knew when to travel and what to do, that it really added to the mystery of it all.
Yeah, well, it's surprisingly, I probably shouldn't say this, but I have some inside information about policing on waterways and that kind of thing. And, you know, if you're going to hide somewhere on a river is a pretty good idea because, you know, the policing is sporadic. There's unless there's an incident, there's not police there all the time. It's not like when they have, you know, drug testing and speed cameras and that kind of thing set up on land. There are times when it is busy on the river and at times when it's very quiet. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting to research that and figure out how is she going to evade capture for 12 years just floating about on a riverboat. But, yeah, I'm glad it worked out that way because that would have thrown my plot into a spin.
Absolutely. And it also, even just the river gives us lots of great, you lot of great analogies about getting lost and dragged down or swept away. Just all the themes that a river can have tie perfectly into the book, don't they?
Yeah, they do. This is a convoluted plot that goes back in time also because we need to know what's happened to Sabine since she was a 17-year-old who has been accused of killing nine people in a caravan fire. She has confessed. She admits guilt, but when she escapes and she disappears onto the river, she's you know, it's not until she's a 30-year-old woman that suddenly she's faced with having to come to terms with her past, and how do you move forward when you're just stuck and drifting? And yes, so all of those analogies, and you know, I could make those links to maybe they're not obvious in the story. It looks like you picked up on some of those things, but I put them in there because they just build it to a
Yeah.
strength where I feel like it holds together really well.
Absolutely. And unlike some books and stories where we get the crime sort of throughout, you confront us up, you know, straight up at the beginning, the caravan park, nine deaths, and it's quite a shocking, you know, way to begin. And it links us into the story. And then we see Sabine in those kind of three timelines. So we've got Sabine then, when the incident happened, and then Sabine now, and then of course Rachel now. So it's wonderful to be able to carry the story and wonder and wander backwards and forwards.
Well, I think my stories are quite character driven, so the plot is almost it rides alongside what the characters are doing, but it's not propelling them. So yeah, it's amazing to deal with two such complex women who Sabine I would consider is unreliable as a narrator. Rachel does not trust her. Rachel wants her story because it may revive her career. She's redundant from her job. She's feeling the empty nest because her children have moved away and her husband has recently been caught having an affair, so they've separated and they're at the beginning of the book, they're divorced. So she too is adrift. To have them come together and try to work together to not, we're not solving a crime here. We're telling a story that shows how Sabine got to this point in her life. And it's important for Rachel to understand that if she's going to tell her story, because, I mean, one thing I do tackle in all of my books is class and how there are justices different for the rich and the poor. And this is no different. I'm looking at that again in this story.
Absolutely. Sabine's upbringing is incredibly difficult, challenging, awful in many ways. I thought it was really quite interesting because as we see how her life unfolds and what she's up against, and those class challenges that you talk about, when we get the early Sabine, it's not as explicit in terms of the horrible stuff she went through, because you give us the early story through the eyes of a child when kids will make excuses about the life they live or at how to get around it. So you really do, as she grows and we get her as an adult, then you understand how hard and difficult it really was.
Yes, and the flip side to that is how resilient a child like that with that kind of upbringing can become, and how you think that a child with such a violent, abusive childhood would grow up to be a terrible person, but there is an odd integrity to her that is pushes up against Rachel's own integrity. So we've got two women who think that they are strong, decisive, you know, that they're whole before they meet, but by pushing up against each other, they actually expose each other's vulnerabilities, which I thought was interesting to write. Two women so different who, I don't know, may never be friends, but they need each other.
Yeah, and you're right, they are so different. And I actually even found, even Rachel as a journalist, I'm a journalist by trade, and I found her almost like lack of care in the early stages of the book, but it wasn't that. She was just thinking about the story and the focus, not the bigger picture. And how you wrote that, and you kept it really like sort of straight down the line, that these women, they weren't friends, they weren't really connected, but they both were doing and following the path they needed.
Yeah, right. I mean, Rachel's ambitious. She's also lonely and hurting because, you know, her life has fallen apart. And she's been interested in this story for some time because she lives next door to Sabine's grandfather, Ray. And she's aware that there have been some comings and goings. And when she finally realizes that she's cornered Sabine, and she wants to extract her story so that she has a full feature article and not just not just call the police and bring her in for arrest. And that's when things get complicated. She underestimates Sabine's intelligence, which I think a lot of people do when you're, if you're an undereducated person or you come from a violent family, there's a lot of prejudgments and preconceptions that come into place, and Rachel is guilty of all of them, which makes her character arc actually quite sweeping. She comes to a lot of, through a lot of change, whereas Sabine is actually quite a steadfast character. She's a fugitive and a criminal in the beginning, and she doesn't profess to be any different all the way through.
I kind of love that. They were both such impressive women in their own ways, and as you say, incredibly different. And it was quite exciting to read two female characters like that in the same storyline, and without giving much away, their stories are together, but they diverge as well, right? So they have to follow their own paths as well. And that was just so interesting, the way you brought us both women in different ways. I also thought you talked, you gave us a real insight into reputation and how that can be, because, you know, Sabine's family, the Kelly family, are not particularly liked and around town, but how that reputation impacts on people and how Sabine came to think of herself because of that reputation of her family.
It's that time of year. Our catalogue is out now for the mums and the other great women in your life. A book absolutely is the gift that keeps on giving. It gives that woman in your life, your mum, your grandma, your carer, time out. I reckon they've earned it. So take a look at the QBD Mother's Day catalogue out now.
Yeah, I talk about shades of grey in this book, and of those judgments on family and people who are connected to a family that has such a reputation. And I think I even slap you in the face with the whole, you can't shake the reputation, you shrink to fit it, or it keeps you out of places, it lets you into others, but you carry this thing with you like a shadow. And Sabine is like that too. Her family has a reputation not only in Far Peaks, the town where the fire occurred, but also in on the river in Shallow Bend. Like, that reputation goes back generations. So I'm interesting to just explore how does a person become who they're meant to be when you're dragging that much stuff around behind you? Does it slow you down? Does it make you strong? I was really interested in figuring out who Sabine was in the beginning, and surprised me a little bit that she was as a character, she was as elusive as any character I've ever written. I always felt like I was chasing her. So
really?
Whereas Rachel, I felt like I knew Rachel. I knew Rachel's character and I knew exactly how to build the story around her. But Sabine was quite just darted all over the place and changed my mind a lot of times in terms of where the story was going.
That is so interesting, because it did feel like, as a reader, it felt elusive, because whenever I thought I knew Sabine, I didn't quite know her again. So that's kind of interesting that that's how it felt to you.
Yeah, well, hopefully if that's the way it came across, that's exactly because that's how I was feeling as I was writing Sabine's character.
Interesting also, Sabine, how people can come to believe, because there's bad around them in their family, or that it's ingrained, and that kind of real struggle she had to, am I bad inherently because of who's around me, or can I be a better person? I love her. There was kind of a bit of a struggle within herself, wasn't there, to try and be, because she did, as you said, she had integrity. She wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah, she wants an end to this, to running, because she feels like she's been running her whole life. And if she has integrity, it's because she knows who she is. She's solid in who she is. She knows she has the bad blood. She doesn't even fight it, really. She accepts it. She's quite, but in a way, she's also naive to think that she can't have a future and can't change. I mean, she's 30 years old. So I found her to be working her way through acceptance in some form or another, and mostly acceptance of herself. So she does question, she won't have children for that reason. She's seen how the kids in her families were brought up, and she's decided this is it, it ends with me. And so that's it.
I thought your portrayal also, we don't get to spend a lot of time in Far Peaks, but just the town, that kind of transient nature, the hard life of it, it sort of shapes the story, doesn't it, as well? Because it does all feel a bit dark and foreboding, because there's not a lot of nice or good coming out of there.
No, well, it's a mining town, inland Australia. It has that strange dichotomy where there's money in the town from the mining. There's also poverty, drugs, corrupt police. You know, it's a real hot pot of conflict. And to have Sabine come from this town, but that is her home, she still thinks of it as home. That was an interesting thing to explore too when I was going to caravan parks and trying to get that feeling that you have of people come in and come out of caravan parks, but there's also a core group of people who exist there. Like, that is their home, that's their life. How do they live? What are they hiding? No, that was really interesting too. So the town was very clear in my mind. It is a very specific town in my head, which I won't name because I'm aware that mud sticks. So yeah, but I do draw heavily on real places and try to bring that realism, I guess.
There was, I guess there was some comfort also, because there was some kindness around Sabine, some people from the caravan park, other relationships, I'm not sure if we should give that away, other relationships in Sabine's life. There's some elements of kindness, and it almost like her gratitude for that and her appreciation helped her stay on track.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true of anyone in any situation. And I used to joke when I wrote my first book, All I Ever Wanted, I wrote about, my growing up and what I considered home. And was the kind of suburb where people drive through and wind their windows up. You don't stop. You pass through and you keep on going. And that's what Far Peaks is like as a town. But I'm not making it up too when I say that it's, yes, this is a dark place. It's dangerous. There are people there who, are criminal, but there's also beauty. There's also love. There's support. There's kindness. Those things don't, aren't, they still happen in the dark places, I guess. So, yeah. And same with Far Peaks. There are some people. Sabine has allies. She has allies everywhere. And most of them are what we would consider bad people, but out of kindness and out of love and out of a pushback against the system that oppresses them, maybe, they will also harbor a fugitive for 12 years. So that was really interesting too, to figure out how am I going to keep her safe? Well, she needed a network, she needed support and a family that maybe wasn't just her blood family as well.
I have to say that when I got towards the end, so I kind of had my last couple of chapters to go, I kind of put it down and braced myself because I felt like, okay, this could go anyway now. And it was a thrilling finish. Did you know, when did you know how it was going to play out?
Quite early, I knew once I had been a little more figured out. I have a lot going on in my head before I actually get to the writing part of it. So it was interesting because I was watching, I watched your interview with Kylie Orr, and she was talking about synesthesia, about seeing colours or numbers as colours, that kind of thing. And I remember seeing, Jim, a little while ago, there was a big discussion on Twitter about how people see things in their head, and there was a scale, like there was the apple, and it was just a hazy idea of an apple, all the way up in gradients to the fully fledged three-dimensional, all the colors with the wormholes and the rips on, and the veins on the leaves, all the way right up to that, which we'll call that five. And when I write, I see everything so clearly in my head before I actually write it down. The trick is to turn a picture into words. So I knew a lot of this stuff was going on, and I saw those scenes before I wrote them down. So I knew what was going on, and I knew the ending so well, but I had to get it out of my head because I kept going around in circles. So I actually wrote the final chapter only about three chapters in, and then it almost felt like I just had a destination and I needed to head towards that. So that was good, actually. It was like almost like exorcising a ghost, and then okay, I'm free to write now. It was right there from not from the very beginning, but almost the beginning.
That is actually fascinating to hear you describe all of that to get to there and to having that chapter. That's really, yeah, that's great. And I feel like a lot of writers would love to be able to do that.
I think we all work differently. It's actually, I feel like it's a difficult process the way I write because I'm actually very slow. So, because of that reason, I have to almost direct scenes in my head 100 times before I can get them clear and clear enough to write them down. I probably should write a screenplay first and then convert it to a book. That might be easier. But anyway, that's the process. That's how it works. And I know a lot of people, a lot of other writers, particularly the ones who say they're one on the apple scale, they see the outline, but the words are clearer to them. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's an easier process, but obviously we're all doing things really differently.
Yeah, that is fascinating. And I have to say, everybody needs a blue in their life. How good was blue?
I've always got dogs in my life. I couldn't not write a dog. I've written dogs in some of my books, and yeah, they're a character in their own right, and they deserve a whole story for themselves, which I've tried to give Blue and Blue. So Blue is a healer. He's Sabine's healer that she rescued from her grandfather. He was going to be drowned in a bucket. He was the runt. He's got a bit of attitude problem. He's got some criminal activity going on. Essentially he is Sabine's shadow. And I think when you have an animal, particularly a dog, you tend to absorb each other's personalities a little bit, and that's what happened with Sabine and Blue. So if he comes across as a character, excuse me, because, you know, he is a character. He was on in my head in the movie, so therefore he's on the page.
Oh, he was just so important. And I also loved how much he loved the river.
He does love it, and even on in the first couple of pages, he's more seal than dog. He, you know, he's eyes up at food. He behave. He can swim, yeah, like a seal. He navigates the river. That's his home. He's quite a character.
Oh, it was just honestly fantastic to read such two, as you say, such different women, such different characters on their own path. But the way you gave us their stories was just fantastic. What is there and something else as you're talking about to the river? Is there something else happening for you? What's the next book?
Yes, I'm writing another one. I'm writing three books at the moment, so
Oh, of course, yes, because you know
never
that's.
one to cross the line first. But that's, you know, that's over years. It's not something that I don't put out a book a year or anything like that. I'm just working on this book. Probably took over just over 3 years to write in its entirety. So it's a long process. So I feel like if I keep a couple of things on the go, then I won't lose momentum with any of them. And I'm pretty good at wasting time, so I try to stay focused on, at least whether I'm, if I'm writing three books, I'll be focused on something, if not the one I should be focused on. So.
Wow, that sounds like a very, very busy brain, Vicky. Thank you so much for taking us to the river. It is a one of it's just a really immersive read, and I think going to make a lot of people very happy. So thank you so much for joining us on Crime Club.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your company on QBD Book Club, the podcast. Back soon with more author insights.